Carl Palmer.
Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Carl. To you.
Carl Palmer, founding member of Emerson, Lake & Palmer and Asia Anatomic Rooster, coming to the Ridgefield Playhouse.
Yes, in Connecticut. You missed out one band, The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. 1968, we had a number one single with a track called Fire.
Fire! Da-na-na, I need you to burn.
You missed it out. Why did you miss that out? Oh, come on.
Oh, let me tell you why. Because you didn't drum on the studio version, but then you toured with the band.
Oh, no,
but that might not be true.
Really?
In actual fact, there were several recordings made. It's a great story, that, because on the tape boxes, nobody ever knew who was on what track. There were three drummers on that album, believe it or not. So I have no idea if I played on it, because the mix was so psychedelic or so psychedelia in its sound, as you guys would say.
That's
funny. I have no idea. But I joined the band, and I played all the concerts, and you know, I got paid, so it was good.
You lost Arthur Brown on Long Island, right?
Yeah, he disappeared to a commune, but interesting story there. Whilst that happened, in 2019, just before the pandemic began, I brought Arthur out with me to sing with my band on that Royal Affair tour, where we had Yes, Asia, Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy, and John Lodge. And Arthur sang a couple of tracks, Fire being one of them, Knife Edge being another, with my group. And he's still in fine fettle. He's still singing really well.
That's wild.
He's a great old boy.
So you're a kid, and you guys are touring The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. And you're on tour, and you go to Long Island, and then he's just gone.
He was the period, you know, when all those communes and that sort of, like, you know, let's all live together in this area or whatever it was. Anyway, he just disappeared one night. He was gone. We waited about a month and a half for him, and I sort of got a bit agitated. So I said to Vincent, the keyboard player, let's return to England. And he said, yeah, I'm going to come with you. I said, fine, let's go together. And off we went. And then, you know, we met up with Arthur years later. But he just got psyched out over there. It was that period. It was Haight Ashbury and, you know, all the stuff that went on.
Yeah, it's just it wasn't as focused.
So tell me, what's it like sitting in for AJ? Are you enjoying yourself?
I'm having a great time. Wow. It really is a good
time.
You
speak to all the stars, right? I mean, it's great, isn't it? What a great job.
This is a great job. So when right before Emerson, Lake & Palmer came together,
was it
Jimi Hendrix spoke to Keith and Greg about maybe forming a band? Is that right?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. Hendrix was never involved with us at any point.
Okay.
He never showed up at any rehearsal. He was never spoken to. That was just some journalist who had the bright idea that if Hendrix was to join, the band would be called Help. But I never saw Hendrix. I never played with him. He was not at a rehearsal. It was just a fallacy, a complete fallacy.
Really? And, you know, everywhere you look on the internet, that's there. So that journalist, whatever he or she did, it stuck.
He's laughing every day about it.
Yeah.
That's what happens. Listen, I had a journalist come to a concert, review a concert, and when I read what they had written, they hadn't even been at the concert. They got the wrong set list from the year before. And they were talking about tracks we didn't play that night. Yes. So I don't always listen to journalists. You have to be very careful.
No, I don't blame you. I got to tell you, you're one of the world's greatest rock drummers. And can you imagine you playing with Jimi Hendrix? That would have been something.
I'll be honest with you. Mitch Mitchell was the very first drummer they tried with Emerson, Lake & Palmer. That's the only connection to the experience, the Jimi Hendrix experience that EL ever had. And I think Mitch turned up and he played for the afternoon. Something went wrong. And then Keith Emerson's manager was the guy that recommended me to Keith. And they got hold of me, and, you know, the rest is history. But that's the only person from the Jimi Hendrix experience that actually did turn up. Hendrix was never there, but Mitch Mitchell did play for the afternoon.
There lies the confusion of the Hendrix.
Yeah, it could well be.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know what the problem was with Mitch, because he was a sensational drummer.
Very good.
But it didn't work out. It didn't work out.
Yeah. But normally you don't hear someone singing over a drum solo. And I remember hearing that.
Yeah, well, ELP were different. You don't normally have a keyboard being the lead instrument in a band.
Right.
It's usually guitar, you know. So we were completely different. We took classical music and we adapted it to use and play on modern contemporary instruments. So the whole thing was way out there. You know, I think that's why Emerson, Lake and Palmer stood out at the time. And it was just one of those things. We enjoyed playing that type of music. You know, we're very European sounding. And it happened to work here in America. And I'm very grateful for that.
And then Asia comes about. How does that, who calls who? How does that come together?
So Asia was already formed between Steve Howe and John Wetton. They had already got together. And the manager of Yes.
Steve Howe from Yes. Now,
yes, the manager of Yes called Brian Lane, who was now managing Asia, which was only John Wetton and Steve Howe, as I said, they started to look for a drummer. And I think, I don't know what happened there. There was a couple of guys that came in. I think they tried Simon Phillips, and that didn't work out. I wasn't the first drummer again. I believe I was second again. And when I went up, it worked out. It sounded great. I'd known John Wetton for years. I'd known Steve Howe since I was 18, so we were big friends anyway. And we played. And the day we were playing in these studios, down the hallway was Jeff Downs and Trevor Horn. And Steve Howe said, Jeff Downs is down the hallway. Let's speak to him. He might want to join the band and play keyboards. Of course, we asked him, and that was it. And Asia was born.
It was incredible. Were you surprised by the success?
I was incredibly surprised. Look, any album that's the album of the year in 82 or one of the biggest albums of the year, you're going to be surprised because you don't know how to quantify that success. You don't know how to manufacture it. It's to do with timing. It's to do with material. It's to do with record companies. It's to do with the release time and who gets behind it and who doesn't. So there's so many factors in there. You just never know when that's going to happen. You know,
right.
you guys are having fun. You must be well coffeed up, are you?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Carl Palmer is on.
You're flying, obviously.
You are only the second person to be nominated for a Best New Artist Grammy.
For what?
Well, you were nominated for a Grammy for Emerson, Lake & Palmer, Best New Artist, and then Asia was nominated for a Grammy, Best New Artist.
I never take too much notice of those things.
David Crosby was the only first, and you were second to be nominated for two Grammys for Best New Artist.
There you go.
Yeah. You never knew that?
I wasn't aware, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of people say to me, you know, why aren't Emerson, Lake and Palmer in the Hall of Fame? Well, you know, why aren't you there with all the music that you created and the style of music that you created, which was a brand new art form? And I always say to people, I am in the Hall of Fame. I'm in the public's Hall of Fame. I'm still here today, you know, 40 years later playing and being accepted. I don't need five guys around the table in some Hall of Fame in Cleveland to tell me that I'm good or whatever. I need the public to want the music and to want what we do. So as far as I'm concerned, Emerson, Lake & Palmer is in the Hall of Fame because the public is still buying the material. I'm still touring. So that's all I need, really. That's the gratification. And that's the real deal, is what the public thinks, not what a committee thinks. I am in the Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned.
You know what? You're absolutely right. That's a great take on it, too. Because it's the people who are buying the tickets and buying the music.
Yeah.
Those are the people who vote you in or out. Yeah.
I agree with you. I will tell you, I'll be very honest with you now. Emerson, Lake and Palmer, the three of us, always said, you know, oh, that's really great in America, the Hall of Fame, you know, but how does it come about? And then when you find out that the public don't have a say in how it's put together and how it's constructed, you think to yourself, well, how can that be? It's the public, as you've just said, buy the tickets, buy the product. You know, why don't they have a say? Because that's what it's all about. The music is for the people. It's not for a five-man committee, you know. So I'm content, you know. So it's really not a problem. But that is the real deal. Listen, it's a great organization, but it just doesn't suit me, you know. The actual ethos of it is not where I would like to be.
Did you see the list of nominees this year?
No, I didn't, to tell you the truth. But they're always quite bizarre, so... And listen, this is nothing against Joan Jett. I think she's fantastic. But I was really impressed when Joan Jett got in, and we never even had a look in. You know, I thought, well, there you go. It's because that's the way it's done. Do they do this in alphabetical order? Do they do this after they go to the pub? When do they do this? How does it work? And it's really odd. It's just a very, very strange organization, you know. But listen, hey, what's a poll? What does it mean, really? As we just said, it's how many people come to your concert.
That's right.
And buy your product. That's what really counts. And listen to you on the radio. That's what it's all about.
That's right. That's right. Well, Dolly Parton is among the nominees this year.
Yes, I did hear that. I did. And you know something? I really believe she deserves it. You think of all the good she's done, charities or whatever, and all the great songs she's written. And she's been going for years, you know. Listen, I might start having plastic surgery. It suited her. I might do it as well.
All right, maybe we'll see Carl Palmer this Wednesday at Richfield Playhouse with a blonde wig and
doing a cover of Jolene.
It's all done. It's going to happen. I promise you.
Carl, we're very excited about your show this Wednesday. We're linked up the tickets on our radio station website. And this band that you have that you're touring with, man, no slouches.
Yeah, no, they're probably, you know, two of the best musicians I've ever played with. We've got Simon Fitzpatrick on the six-string bass and also playing the Chapman stick. Chapman stick, 10-stringed instrument, so we can trigger all of the keyboard sounds that we used to have in ELP from that. And a similar thing with the lead guitar, Paul Bielatowicz. We can trigger a lot of keyboard sounds along with guitar sounds. So it's quite a unique sound. And we're also singing more now than what we used to in the past. I was never in favor of having a big singing band. I wanted it more instrumental because ELP had a lot of instrumentals. But we've now amalgamated the two ideas. And, we've got vocals there as well. I even sing myself. So anyway, there's no refunds once you hear me singing. I'm not singing that right now. But it's all good stuff. I sing a track from the Brain Salad Surgery album. It's a track that Greg Lake would never sing on stage, actually.
Oh,
it's
wow.
All about a bouncer called Benny the Bouncer. Anyway, it's a funny song, and it's a bit like Ringo Starr singing Yellow Submarine, you know. It's that kind of deal. Anyway, I enjoy it, and it always goes down reasonably well. And we're happy, you know. It makes a lighthearted moment in the show. So that's what we need.
Well, Carl, you're in our Hall of Fame, and thank you for coming on, and have fun Wednesday night at Richfield Playhouse. We're linked up to tickets on the radio station website. Thank you, Carl.
You've made my day telling me I'm in your Hall of Fame, because that's what it's all about.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you so much.
Carl Palmer.
Take care.
One of the greatest drummers in the world ever. Founding member of Emerson, Lake & Palmer and Asia at the Richfield Playhouse this Wednesday.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.